Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pick and Pop podcast in association with Pick and Roll and Zoom TV. I'm Christopher Tyler, and on the phone with me is Luke Sicari from pickandroll.com.au. Mate, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here, Chris. It's a really exciting time for Australian basketball fans, isn't it?
It is, and we saw the relaunch, I guess, of the new NBL last season, and it was awesome. We got good crowds, we got good basketball. The atmosphere was fantastic. The on-court drama and all the fireworks and all the noise, it was fantastic last season, wasn't it?
It was unbelievable. It was a rejuvenation of Australian basketball of sorts. It's pretty crazy to think that just earlier this decade, we barely had a league.
Exactly.
And now, we look now 5-6 years later, and it is booming, and it's going to be better than ever this year in what is one of the most talent-rich NBLs that I can ever remember.
And the Brisbane Bullets are back, which kind of brings that nostalgic factor back into play as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's getting back into the heyday of the old NBL from, you know, the 80s and 90s, the golden era of the NBL. Man, we could be in for another one coming up shortly. I don't know if that's wishful thinking or what, but it's certainly in play.
Oh, I think it is in play, and you look at all the great work the NBL is doing off the court now, with every game going to be broadcast live.
Oh, so that's fantastic.
A massive, I think it's about 1.3 billion people audience in China.
Yeah.
All this exposure of Australian basketball, you're seeing off-court sponsorships popping up every day. It's an exciting time on and off the court.
And again, that follows on from their deal with Fox Sports last year, where they had every single game live on Fox. And had it during the week as well, which kind of meant that everyone got into a bit of a routine and a rhythm of watching NBL every night, pretty much every night anyway. I think there was maybe two or three nights a week where they didn't have it on. But it just meant that it's kind of always in your conscious. If you're a basketball fan, you can just chuck on the TV any night that you want throughout the week, and there's going to be basketball. There's going to be Australian basketball. And the good thing is, even though we're not getting the really big-name imports, we're getting the Australian players. We're getting the big-name Australian players, or most of them anyway. And I think that's just as important, whereas we want our homegrown talent coming to play for our own league. I think that's fantastic.
Absolutely. There's a number of current and former Boomers bypassing Europe or the D-League to come play in the NBL with their home teams. It's a massive encouragement for Australian basketball. And now SBS is on board for one free-to-air game a week live, which is another step forward. So even people without the pay TV can watch it. You've got NBL TV. For just $5 a month, you get access to all the games live. You get historic games. It's the real deal at the moment, the NBL. It's an exciting time. There's heaps of ways to watch the game and the quality basketball as well, which is the most important thing.
So while the NBL is starting this week, we thought we'd do a bit of an NBL special edition of the Pick and Pop podcast. And you wrote for the Pick and Roll website your NBL power rankings, the preseason power rankings. You went through and ranked the all eight teams in the league. So we'll go through them right now and kind of get your thoughts on each team as we do. So we'll start off with the eighth team and move our way to the first team. And the eighth team that you have is the Sydney Kings. Luke, tell us why.
Well, I got to kind of put a disclaimer on this one before I start talking about the Sydney Kings. So because the league is so good, Sydney sitting last isn't really an indicament of they're a bad team. It's just the league is so good where how much faith can you put into a team that has promised so much year on year and just not performed year on year?
Mate, you're not trusting Andrew Gaze. Andrew Gaze has taken the helm over there in Sydney. Mate, his SEN zone, he's our mate, we know him. You got to put some trust in Gazy.
Well, as much as everyone in Australian basketball loves Andrew Gaze, where is his proven track record as a coach? You know, he coached a not good Melbourne Tigers team in the Seabull this year, which the results were not good. He's coming into a new team, a Sydney Kings team, which is, it's not a new team, but there's a lot of new key pieces there he's got to mesh together. So I'm not too, he hasn't got a great track record of a head coach, but he did bring in on his staff Leonard Copeland and Dean Vickerman, two proven coaches in Australian basketball, which will help on the coaching staff.
And number seven, you've got the Adelaide 36ers.
Yeah, so this was an interesting one as well, because if you look at Adelaide's backcourt, you've got Jerome Randall, who just took the league by storm last year in the second half of the season. He's an absolute joy to watch. And then you've got the guy that I think a lot of people will be watching Adelaide for this year is Terrence Ferguson. So this kid's coming out of high school, highly ranked, bypassed college, bypassed Europe, and he's coming down to the NBL. And he's actually sent 30 NBA scouts with him, all 30 NBA teams. At some stage or another, we'll have a scout or representative in NBL stands this year watching Terrence Ferguson. So the 36ers, they're young, and the depth is a concern. So I'm not sure if they're going to win a lot of games. But if you want to see a future first-round draft pick in the NBA for 2017, go to some Adelaide games and watch Terrence Ferguson because the kid can play. He's super, super athletic.
So, yeah, I kind of pulled the Emmanuel Mudiay, and instead of moving to China, he came to Australia, which is what we like, which is what we were talking about before, whereas this is kind of a legitimate next option next door to, or next to China and even Europe. People are thinking about coming to us.
It is. The fact that a kid who's coming down here to build his draft stock as well.
Yeah.
So he wants to come down to a league with good quality competition because you don't want to be versus duds because then that can probably affect your draft
Works against
negatively.
You, yeah.
So coming down to Australia, it's Ferguson. No, is he going to score a lot of points? I don't know how he's going to perform, but the fact that he chose to come to Australia is just a massive plus for the league.
Absolutely, man. And at number six, now this one might surprise a few people, but you've got the New Zealand Breakers in sixth position.
I do, and it's an unfamiliar position for the Breakers to be in, but I think the big loss for them was Cedric Jackson. That kind of
big
caught
time.
Everyone by surprise that Cedric left. So now at the point guard position, they're bringing in Ben Woodside, who has a proven track record as a playmaker in Europe. But with Ben, it's a question mark whether he can run an NBL team in an effective manner. And then you've got the head coach, Paul Hearn, who is the New Zealand national team coach. As a rookie head coach in the NBL, it's going to be tough. I've got him out of the playoffs at the moment. It's going to be tough. They do have Kirk Penny, Corey Webster, Thomas Abercrombie, proven NBL guys. But I don't know about the Breakers. They got to prove to me that they can do it without Cedric Jackson, which they haven't proven previously. They've got to prove that they can win without him, who has been the heartbeat of their team for the last 4 or 5 years.
Absolutely. And number five, you've got the Cairns Taipans.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are excited for Cairns Taipans this year. They had a pretty good showing in the preseason Australian Basketball Challenge tournament last week with Cam Glidden, who won the MVP for the preseason tournament. Just quietly, he's my MVP sleeper for this year, Cam Glidden. He averaged just under 20 points in the preseason tournament. And if Cairns want to elevate themselves to the finals, they need scoring. So they're a strong defensive unit. They're bringing down Nature Y, who's obviously a defensive monster in the paint.
Oh, yeah. See, I like watching Big Nate.
Yeah, yeah. And then and then defensively as well, they've got two new imports in Furkan Edwin and Nana Igu, who are two defensive-minded guys. So you know Aaron Fearn's a defensive-minded coach as well, so they're going to be a strong defensive team. It's just that scoring and offensive efficiency that might hold the Taipans back a little this year. But Cam Glidden, if he can play like he did in the preseason tournament, it shouldn't be much of a concern.
Now, number four, and I like saying this, Luke, the Brisbane Bullets.
Yes, the Bullets are back. What an exciting time for Australian basketball. And let me tell you something, they're not back as a novelty. They are back to win. You look at this roster they've put together, and it really starts from the sidelines, bringing Andre Lamanis in as the head coach.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
Andre
a big, big get.
Not going to deal with patience or developing the youngsters or losing. He's going to win from the get-go. And you look at the roster they've put together. The big name's Cam Burstow, obviously coming down after 2 years in Chicago.
And again, this comes back to what I was talking about before. Rather than him deciding to move to Europe, he's come back home.
Absolutely, absolutely. He might miss the first couple of weeks. He's still got that shoulder issue he suffered with the Boomers in Rio. But he should be set to go sooner rather than later. They've got NBL veteran Adam Gibson running the point. You've got Jermaine Beal alongside him. You've got Torrey Craig on the ring. You've got Daniel Kickett in the middle. So there's proven NBL weapons on this Bullets team. There will be a bit of growing pains, which is why they might stumble out of the blocks a little bit, which might surprise some people. But once they get it to click, I expect this team to be in the playoffs.
At number three on your NBL preseason power rankings, you have the Illawarra Hawks, the preseason champs.
They did. They performed very well in the preseason tournament in Brisbane last week. They did lose Kevin Lish and Kirk Penny from last year's team. So it may surprise people for me to have them this high considering those departures. But you look at their roster, they've still got AJ Ogilvy, who's the most dominant big man in Australian basketball at the moment. They've brought in Marvell Harris to play at the shooting guard spot, who's a flat-out scorer everywhere he's been. All across his career, he's put up buckets, which is what the Hawks need. And then they're bringing back the former league MVP in Monte Clark, who played for the Hawks previously. So you know there's a sense of familiarity there. And you know, and another thing, they also picked up Nicholas Kay and Mitch Norton from the disbanded Townsville Crocodiles. So adding quality NBL talent there. Even Michael Holyfield, they've brought in from the D-League, who can help Ogilvy off the bench in the rebounding department. So it's going to be an exciting time for the Hawks this year. I reckon They made the semi-finals last year. They should be back there again this year.
And number two on your list is the Melbourne United and David Anderson's Melbourne United.
David Anderson is back. And as we mentioned before, Cedric Jackson left New Zealand to come to Melbourne. Personally, I think United have the most talented roster in the league. They bat.
But they've had the most talent for a few years and can only get it done on very limited occasions. That's the problem with United.
Yes, yes. There's been a lot of times, and last year's playoffs were the perfect example when they just failed to step up in the big moments. So can Dean Demopoulos get this team, as talented as they are, as amazing as they're going to be in the regular season, they're going to be a ball to watch. There's going to be a lot of points put up at Hisense Arena this year, but can they really step it up in the big moments? You know, defense is still going to be a problem for them. Can they lock down defensively when they have to? The scoring's not going to be... When you have Cedric Jackson on the same team as Chris Golding and guys like Toddy Blanchfield is still there, David Anderson, David Barlow's coming back from injury. You know scoring's not going to be a problem. And the two imports, Ramone Moore and Devin Williams, coming out of West Virginia. So they're going to be a really, really fun team to watch, but can they do it when it really, really matters, which is what held United back last season.
So if people are paying attention, they would know that the top spot in your preseason power rankings goes to the Perth Wildcats.
Yes, I have a preseason power rankings rule, that the team who won the title last year starts the season in the number one spot. It's only right. It's paying respect to what they did last year and really paying to respect to what the Wildcats have done for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
They've made the playoffs in 29 straight seasons, which is an absolutely unbelievable track. It's unheard of in any sport. And they did lose a few key pieces. So Jermaine Beals off to Sydney. You got Nature Y in Cairns and you got Tom Jervis in Brisbane. So they have lost a few pieces. Bills in Brisbane, not Sydney. So excuse me on that one. They've lost a few pieces, but they've brought in Jaron Johnson, Jamal McKay, and you've still got Damian Martin there. When Damian Martin's on your team, you know you've got a chance to win with the Perth Wildcats. There's nothing there for me to doubt them and put them any lower than first.
And you also failed to mention Casey Prather as well out of Florida. This is a guy that I watched a lot of in college. He's an excitement machine.
Yep. He's pretty much... Instead of doing the off-season, we saw a bit of it in the preseason. He's improved his offensive efficiency this year with the ball in hand. He's improved his mid-range jumper. He's more confident driving to the basket. So as good as he was last year, he's going to be even better this year, which is a scary proposition for the league.
Absolutely. So Australian Hoops has kind of taken a bit of a hit this season with the news that Ben Simmons is going to be out for probably most of the year, if not the entire year, with a bit of a foot injury. Thon Maker's copped an injury in the past couple of weeks, as well as Dante injuring his knee today. We don't know how long he'll be out for at the moment. But while all our Australian talent seems to be getting injured in the States before the NBA season, we've still got plenty of talent down here in the NBL. So make sure everyone checks it out. NBL is terrific quality, and it starts this week. It starts on Friday night. Make sure you go down to your local team.
Starts tonight.
Oh, my God. It's Thursday already.
Visit the Brisbane Bullets tonight.
Make sure you all check it out. It's going to be a fantastic season. Luke, thank you as always. We can find your stuff at Luke Sicari. We can read all your work at pickandroll.com.au. And you, as well as me, have started up a new podcast for SEN America, the SEN NBA podcast. So everyone make sure to check that at SEN America and sen.com.au/SEN America. Luke, thanks for joining us, mate.
It's been a pleasure, Chris.